I got thinking this week, you know, I got thinking as I was reading my Bible, there's some things that we should not forget. So I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes on forget not. Forget not. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. We'll just read a few verses. And in chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 23. Now, of course, you know, Moses, God has inspired him to say these things. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He said, don't you forget these. You teach these to your children, your grandchildren. And then, if you look at verse 23. In verse 23, he said, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything, which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. In other words, he said, don't you forget God and go back to idols. Don't forget God. And then in chapter 6, if you look over there, and there's so many I could have went to, all through the book of Deuteronomy, all through the Old Testament, but Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 12. Deuteronomy in verse 12 of chapter 6, he says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, don't forget the one that brought you out. Don't forget. Lest you forget. Do not forget. And I think there's some things that we need to remember tonight, and I'm going to give you some reminders and try to help you not to forget. God had done some great and marvelous things for the children of Israel. And God had given them a man of God to teach them and to guide them. And in his later years, after all that God had done for them, he turned around and he said, now don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. And I counted in the Old Testament, and there's probably more, but the ones that I could remember, I think I counted 26 times when he said, don't forget, lest thou forget. Don't forget, lest thou forget. Don't forget. And I think we can carry that over to the New Testament and all the great and marvelous things that God has done for us as believers that we should not forget. Now, I'm not a part of that old covenant that he's talking about. That old covenant was the Old Testament covenant that he made with the people in the Old Testament, and it pointed them to a coming Savior. Now, I'm in the New Testament age. My covenant is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and my covenant is pointing back to the Savior that has come. Amen? And so I need to remember that. I need to remember some things. And so I got to jotting some things down, lest I forget. Number one, he was telling them, do not forget the greatness of God. Do not forget the greatness of God. He created the universe. He was their creator. He was their savior. He was their supplier. He was everything to them. And he said, do not forget the greatness of God, the one that brought them out of bondage, the one that fed them in the wilderness with manna. He gave them water out of a rock. He turned bitter, bad water into good water. He kept them from those nations all around them that would have destroyed them. And I think Moses is saying, don't you forget the greatness of a holy God that separated you from everybody else and did those great and marvelous works, who led you by day with that cloud. And when that cloud moved from off that tabernacle, you moved with the cloud. And at night, there was a pillar of fire there, and when that fire moved, you moved with that fire, and he took care of you, and he supplied all your needs. don't you forget the greatness of your God. He's not like other gods. He's not an idol. Boy, I look at those people. I love history, and I love the History Channel, and I watch things about India and all those places, and monkeys running around, and they're feeding the monkeys, and they're feeding the cows, and they're letting their children die of starvation because their God's a monkey, or their God's some stinking cow, or a snake, or a statue, and their God's never done a stinking thing for them. And our God created the universe and all that's therein. Stars innumerable. We can't even count the stars and the sun and the moon and the oceans and the mountains. And we have a great God, a great creator. Don't you forget that. You did not evolve from an amoeba. You didn't, though some act like they evolved from monkeys. My grandma did not swing from a tree. Amen. God created us, the God of the universe, and we were His greatest creation, man was. Don't you forget that. Don't you let this liberal society we live in make you think that you live and you're born and then you live 50, 60, 70 years and you die and they burn you up and throw your ashes in the ocean and that's all there ever was to you and that's all there ever will be to you. No, sir. You've got the seed of God in you. You have eternal life. You're going to live forever somewhere. You better not forget that, the greatness of God. Amen. And then I think he was reminding them not to forget the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The New Testament puts it like this. All good gifts come from the Father above. Amen. I'll never forget Johnny Cola. He's such a sweet man. And I'd go on trips with him and stuff, you know, Bible conferences and revivals and stuff. He'd buy me a Pepsi Cola. If I'd try to buy supper or lunch or something, he'd knock me out of the way and pay for it. And I'd say, thank you, brother Johnny. He said, don't thank me, thank him. All good gifts come from above. Every time he'd say that. That's the truth, amen? We better not forget the goodness of God. You say, well, I'm having a hard time. There's a lot of people having it harder than you are. Well, my house has got a leak in it. Some people don't have a house. Amen? Amen. My car's broke down. Some people don't have a car. My mama don't even have a driver's license. Amen? God's been good to us. You're sitting up. You're walking. You're talking. You think you're in your right mind. We may not all agree with that, but God's been good to you. God's been good to you. Amen? God's been good. Don't you ever forget how good God's been to you. But I've had a broken heart, but I've lost loved ones. Haven't we all? But the goodness of God, the mercies of God are renewed every day. You can get up every morning and say, God is good, and I get to start all over today, the goodness of God. You didn't get what you deserved. Amen. People say, well, how you doing? I say, I'm doing real good. And I'm just thankful I'm not getting what I deserve. Amen. Amen. And he reminded them not only the greatness of God, but the goodness of God, and then the grace of God. Grace, that word grace means undeserved love or favor. We don't deserve it. And God loves us anyway. Boy, you get to sitting around thinking about how you're still here and a lot of them aren't. Amen. I could name you 20 people right now that I grew up with, and most of them dead and gone, and I'm still here. I never thought I'd make it to 2000, much less 2017. God's been good to me. And it's not because I'm good, but because He's good. Amen? The grace of God, the undeserved favor. And then one day, He sent me to a little church where I could hear the gospel that He loved me, He didn't hate me. And they let His Son die in my place so I could be saved. I wouldn't have to pay for my sins. He'd already paid for them if I just accept the payment. And thank God, He led me to a preacher that was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen? And thank God, my wife got saved, and I got saved, and my children got saved, and my grandchildren are getting saved. And that's not me. That is the goodness of God. That is the love of God. That's the grace of God. Nobody deserves it. Amen. Nobody. You say, I'm pretty good. There's none good. Amen. And the minute you think you are, that made you bad right there. That was pride. Most of the time, it was just a lie. You know better. Amen. So Moses was reminding them. He said, lest you forget, forget not, never forget the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. If it wasn't for all of that, we'd be dead and in hell today, right now. You'd have been born in a Muslim country. Amen. You might have been born in some cave somewhere in Brazil or darkest Africa or something. God's been good to us, and it, by His grace, it's not because we were better than anybody else. It's because He is. Amen? So I think Moses was trying to remind them of that. And then there's three things that we need to forget. There are some things we need to forget. Now, I thought about this. There's more than three, I know, but three main things we can all relate with, okay? Number one, you're to forget your past sins. If you got saved, if you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've received Him as your Savior, those sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. They're taken out of the book. God doesn't remember them. He said, I'll throw them in the depths of the sea to remember them no more. He said, I'll put them behind my back, and you can't see behind your back. And He said, I'll put them as far as the east is from the west. And if you go east, you'll never get west. If you go west, you'll never, it's a never ending. Those sins are gone. God forgot them. You ought to forget them too. But you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter anymore. It's gone. It's erased. It's under the blood. Amen? And God has forgotten it. Why don't you forget it? Amen. But then on the other hand, we should not forget. Well, we should. We should forget. Let me phrase it this way. There is joy in sin for a season. You need to forget that joy. I don't care who it is or what they tell you, there is some pleasure in sin, but all of Satan's apples have worms, every one of them. They look good, they taste good, but in the end they bring forth death. You better forget that pleasure, buddy. And I don't even know who that Yankee was from New Jersey that sang that song, Glory Days. We don't have any glory days, amen? Without Christ, it was gory, not glory. And you need to remember that. You forgot that night you hugged a commode all night throwing up, amen? You forgot that night you lost your best friend because of your stinking sin. You forgot you broke up a marriage. You broke somebody's heart. Come on, help me. You need to forget that. You need to forget the joy of the sin, but you also need to forget the sin. Forget it. A lot of Christians will stand around and brag about how bad they used to be, and their children, their grandchildren are hearing this stuff. And so therefore, their grandchildren, their children think, well, I can live that way and survive and become a Christian when I get too old to sin anymore. I can get saved just like Grandpa did. No, no, no. It's the grace of God he lived in the first place. And you need to look at him. And you need to quit talking about it. And you need to quit bragging on it. And you need to quit telling people what a great sinner you are. And you need to start telling people what a great Savior he is. Amen? Amen. There's too many testimonies don't do anything but glorify the devil. Talk about how much liquor they drank, how much dope, and how they did this and that. We don't want to hear that. God forgot it. You ought to forget it yourself. Amen? Help me. Now, we need to forget those past sins. Now, here's something else. We need to forget past hurts. If I ask you to raise your hand, everybody in this room that's ever been hurt, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, maybe even physically, every hand in here would go up. Well, I used to go to church, but I got hurt. Everybody in that church had been hurt at some time or another. Well, you know, I used to try to live for God, but they hurt my feelings. Well, join the club. They hurt his feelings too. Now, you need to forget that hurt. And every once in a while, and I told a lady this one time, every time I'd see her, she would just compound and putting more and more stuff on top of how these people did this to me and these people did that to me and these people. And finally I just looked there. I said, you'll just build you a bridge and get over it. I said, you're letting this stuff ruin your life. You won't leave it behind. You won't forget it. You keep rehashing it and it's dead and you keep resurrecting the stinking stuff. You're never going to get peace with it. Forget that stuff and go on. Every once in a while, you need to go through some hurt and just look back at it and say, well, hallelujah, anyhow. Made it through that. Glory to God. Amen. I'm happy to be here. Amen. We need to forget those hurts. And by the way, did you know that a lot of times you get hurt, they didn't mean to hurt you? Some people wear the hurt right there. And they just walk around just wanting somebody to knock it off. Amen? There's some people looking to get hurt. They wallow in that self-pity and that self-misery. They just wallow in that stuff. They love to talk about how many times people have offended them and hurt them. And you know what you ought to do? The Bible says pray for them. Pray for those people who hurt you. Do good to them. Amen? I used to work with a man that hated my guts. I don't know. I'm a nice guy. Say amen. Say I'm a nice guy. I didn't do anything to him. He just hated me for who I was. Every once in a while, I'd go buy me a Pepsi Cola, and I'd buy him one and take it to him, just hand it to him and smile and say, have a good day. Turn around and walk off like heaping coals of fire on his head, man. I'm telling you. And after a while, they'll get tired of hurting you. When they find out that it's not going to stop you, they'll get tired of hurting you and go after somebody else. Now, I've been saved since 1978. I've been really preaching since 1981-82. If you don't want to be hurt, don't you ever announce your call to preach the gospel. I mean, people look at you through a microscope and everything else, and they'll pick at everything you say and everything you do. I had a man come over to my house one time. I went to visit his wife in the hospital. She was a member of my church. She could sing beautifully. He led the singing. He could sing beautifully. And I went to see her in the hospital. She had gallbladder or something taken out. Wasn't nothing serious. And nurses would come in there, and she'd talk to those poor little old girls like they were dogs. She'd fuss at them and holler at them. She cussed them. Yeah, with me standing there. And when they left the room, I looked at her. I said, you need to do better than this. I said, you need to treat these women for what they are. They're ministering angels. They don't have to do what they're doing. They have college degrees. They can do anything they want to. I said, they're in here trying to help you and minister to you, and you say you're a Christian. You ought to be nice to these people. Would you believe she got mad at me? I prayed with her and left. Her husband come flying in my yard, slammed on brakes, took his big old finger about that big around, put it right up in my nose, and he said, don't you ever talk to my wife like that again. You made her cry. I said, she made them cry. He said, you're a hypocrite. I said, she's acting like a hypocrite. He said, you're a hypocrite. Your daughter wears skirts that's too short. That was my baby daughter. And I looked at him, I said, what are you doing looking at 12-year-old girls' skirts? He said, we won't never be back. I said, goodbye. Now, he hurt me. That really hurt me. And of course, that's the easiest story I can tell. You wouldn't want to hear the others. But I've got news for you. Tomorrow, the next day, I forgot it. And you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to not remember some things. There's some things you need to forget, and there's some things you don't need to forget. And being hurt is one thing you just need. And by the way, you don't know. They might have been having a bad day themselves. You don't know what they're going through. Or you don't know what they live with. You don't know if that husband, what he's doing, or that wife, what she's doing, or how his children's treating him, or their grandchildren. You don't know. You ought to look at them and say, I'm going to forget this because I don't know what they're going through. And then I thought about this. Well, to forget past failures. Well, to forget them. I started to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm not going to do it. I'd like to say, is there anybody in this room who has never failed since you've been saved? You failed what you know you ought to be as a Christian. You failed what you know you ought to be as a wife or a husband or a father or a mother or whatever. Every hand in here would have to raise. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Since we got saved. Since we were regenerated, born again, got a new heart, new mind, new spirit, became a new creature, and we still fail. Now, we're not what we used to be, but we still fail. Did you know that God's mercy is renewed every day, and you need to forget that failure? And if you love people, you need to forgive them of their failures. How many times, preacher? Well, Jesus said 70 times 70. Amen. Hey, every day, every day, Every day you need to forget your failures and others too. People are going to let you down. They can't help it. I'll let you down. Some of y'all done found that out. If you don't write it down, the preacher will let you down. Sometimes if you write it, he'll lose the note. I've got them all over my car. But the thing is, even as a Christian, we still fail. And what we need to do, see the old devil, here's what the devil will do. Here's exactly what the devil will do. And I can't move around much. Belinda's got the bright camera on me and everything. But here's exactly what the devil does. He gets on this shoulder right here and he says,
go ahead, ain't nobody looking. Ain't nobody paying no attention. You ain't nobody. Go ahead. Nobody will care if you do that. You know, go ahead. Just one time. Just go.
And then after you do it, he's over here on this shoulder. He said, I'm going to tell everybody. You done it now. This will be in the Herald. This will be in the Charlotte Observer. We're going to put this on Channel 9. It's going to be on Facebook, and everybody's going to share it. It's going to have 5,000 shares and 20,000 likes. That's exactly the way the devil does. And you know what you need to do? You need, he's the only one you can tell where to go. Tell him where to go and forget it. And get up and ask God to forgive you. Brush it off. Keep going for the glory of God. And when somebody brings it back up, say, yeah, you're right, I did. But I'm not today. Amen? And then there are some things that we should strive to forget not. Number one, you don't need to forget that God loves you unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally. There's no conditions. It's not, I will love you if. It's, I love you. It's unconditional. God doesn't say, I will save you if, because I love you as long as you're doing this. He just says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy rest. It's unconditional love. God loves you. Don't you ever forget that. Your spouse might leave you, your husband, your wife, your children might desert you, everybody in your family might turn on you, and they might call you a failure and a flop and everything else, but I want you to know, and don't you ever forget, God loves you. God loves you unconditionally. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. He loves you when you're a success, and He loves you when you're a failure. God just loves you. That's it. He loved you so much, He let His Son die in your place. Amen? Amen. God so loved you. Don't you ever forget that. Don't let the devil or anybody else tell you you're undeserving, because you know you're undeserving already. Admit it. Say, you're right. I want to go to hell. Yeah, when they tell me that, BJ, when they look at me and say, you ain't much of a preacher, I say, you're right, I'm not. They'll say, you're not much of a Christian. I say, amen, you're right, I'm not. Thank God I'm not saved because of that. I'm saved because God loves me. He loves me unconditionally. I have 3 daughters. And I saw myself drinking on Facebook today. Y'all need to get me a cup. I don't look dignified drinking out of that bottle. Listen, I've got 3 daughters. I have 3 daughters. I love my daughters unconditionally. The day that they were born, I picked them up in my hands and I held them. And that day I fell in love with that little old pound of flesh. 8 or 10 pounds in some cases. And I fell in love with those girls. And let me tell you something. They don't have to do anything to deserve my love. I'm going to love them. Amen? Those are my children. I love my children. Don't mess with my children. I'm a Baptist. I can whoop you and get forgiveness later. Amen? I love my children. If Jesus can die for His, I can fight for mine. Amen? Don't you mess with my children. I'll give you a Baptist whooping and then pray for you as you die. Lord, save him before he takes that last breath. Amen. I love you. I love my daughters. Look, tomorrow they can rob a bank, go to jail. I'll be at the jailhouse loving them. They can show up at the courthouse and be found guilty, and I'll be sitting behind them loving them when they're found guilty. They can go to the penitentiary and I'll be there every visitation day loving them, and I won't even mention the bank robbery again. God loves you unconditionally. You say, you don't know what I've done. He does. And He loves you anyway. Don't you ever forget that. You say, I'm not a good Christian. Amen! None of us are. I mean, if you want to hold it up by God's standard, now if you want to hold it up by somebody else's standard, it might be different. But none of us have reached perfection yet. And God loves us anyway. Well, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Amen? And then you don't need to forget this. God's Word is eternal. God's Word is eternal. Look, that's what we base our eternal destiny on, is the Word of God. I've never met Jesus Christ in the flesh, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, but I've met Him through the living Word of God. I've never sat beside the Father. I've never fallen at His feet. But I've seen Him in all His glory and all His splendor through the Word of God. The Word of God's eternal. Don't you let this wicked world, whether it be the education system or the religious system, tell you Jesus said that it will go to the end of the age. There won't be one jot nor one tittle that fails. The same Word that saved Moses will save me. Amen? And it's forever. It's everlasting. When you get to heaven, you'll be judged according, for reward or loss if you're a Christian or you can't be judged for salvation. Do that here. But the Bible, the Word of God, will be our judge in heaven for reward or loss. And when people die and they go to hell at the great white throne judgment, this will be the book that is open to condemn them because they refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And look, it's eternal. It'll never die. Hebrews 4:12 said it's quick. That means it's alive. You ever bit down and quick? You bit the live part, didn't you? That's an old English word. It means alive. Doesn't mean fast. It means alive. The Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it divides asunder and it does it. Going and coming, doesn't matter how you do it. You take this old book right here. I preached out at the penitentiary. I preached at the jailhouse. I preached at the nursing homes, everywhere else. And as you're preaching, you'll see old hardened sinners start to weep and cry. You can take it up to the hospital, where they say, ain't no need to go see him, ain't no hope. You go up there and you quote him a little scripture, read him a little bit of Bible, tears will roll down the face, people will get saved that everybody thought would never get saved. The Word of God is eternal. The same Bible that saved you saved your great-great-great-great-grandpa. Amen? It's the Word of God. It never changes. Don't you ever forget that. You don't need the Bible of the year. They come out with a new translation every year. Quit that. Quit it. That's book publishers just trying to sell a book, and they make changes in order to tell you it's new and improved. You can't get it any better. You can't improve it. It's the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. It changes not. Why you want to mess with it? For 400 years, this book's been changing America and the other country for 400 years. Now, listen to this. Listen, not only do we not forget, we should not forget that God loves us. We should not forget that the Word of God is eternal. But you never forget the ones who led you to Christ. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody took the risk of being embarrassed and you hurting their feelings to witness to you. I'm telling you, I hurt some people's feelings before I got saved. Somebody loved you enough to risk being embarrassed and having their feelings hurt, but they loved you enough to go ahead and witness to you anyway. Amen? You better not ever forget those people. Don't you forget those people. Me and my wife was talking on the way over here, and we saw the house up here. There's a family tearing the old shingles off their house. They're going to re-roof it, And we got to talking how we used to live right back there, right after I got saved. Well, before I got saved, too, a few years. But we lived right back there in one of those little square box houses. And we needed a roof. And back then, we were going to Independent Bible Baptist Church up there in Charlotte. And I just told somebody at church, I said, me and my wife's going to roof the house. He said, you know how to do that? I said, no, we ain't never done it, but we've been reading up on it. We went to the library and got some books on it. And the roof was leaking. So we bought the materials and everything,
And it was, we didn't know you didn't do it in July. So it was leaking, so we had to fix it. So we got all the materials laid out there, you know. I think it was on a Friday. And I still worked a full-time job, but I was kind of youth pastor up there at Independent. You was one of the kids up there then. And we laid it all out. And I just told somebody, we're going to roof our house, me and my wife. How many of y'all ever seen a woman on a roof re-roofing a house? You done it? I mean, there's a couple of them done it, amen. But it was unusual. And we got up there, and I had a pair of Gilligan tennis shoes. You ever see those Gilligan tennis? They don't have laces. They call them deck shoes. And I didn't have on those socks. And I didn't know that in July that the sun would blister the bottom of your feet through those shoes on that roof. And that day when I come down off that roof, both the bottom of my feet were just as red and blistered. Well, Saturday morning we got real early, and we started going to work. And as we started working, this car pulled up. It was Becky McAteer and her brother, and Brother Terry, and they pulled up. And Becky said, I can't roof houses, but I can keep the tea cold and bring you water and tea and snacks. And Terry McAteer said, well, I can't do much roofing, but I can entertain you. You know, he was always joking going on. And then another car pulled up, and Marvin Bullard got out. By then, we was carrying shingles up on the roof, and I was so weak, I couldn't carry a whole pack of shingles. I'd have to tear them in half, carry them half at a time up that ladder. And Marvin Bullard come, he was a big Lumbee Indian. Wasn't he Lumbee? Some of y'all remember on. Brother Marvin Bullard, about that tall, big man. And he looked at that boy, Becky McAteer's brother. What was his name? I can't remember his name. But he had got one pack to intimidate me and threw it on his shoulder, and he was climbing up that ladder. Marvin looked at him and said, what's wrong there, brother? You can't carry two packs of shingles up that ladder? Let me show you how to do that. He picked up a pack on each shoulder and walked up that ladder and threw them down up on that roof. And this, the pastor came by. And Pastor Coley had a nice suit. And he said, look, I'm going over to the hospital. I can't help your roof. I would if I could. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy everybody lunch. And he went and bought a bunch of pizzas and dropped them off there at the house. Let me tell you something. You don't need to forget people like that. You don't need to forget people that's loved you and helped you on your way in your Christian journey. Don't you ever forget people that's loved you, the ones that witnessed to you and the ones that's nurtured you and taught you and helped you. And you'll thank God you've got friends in the Christian family that will encourage you and not criticize you and put you down all the time, but they'll be there when you need somebody. Amen? If y'all roofing the house, call us. We'll get Brother Rick to come over. I'll buy the pizza. Brother Billy can carry a half a pack, and amen. We might get one or two on BJ, but we'll get over there. Amen. hamburgers. Hamburgers. But look, never forget people who have led you to Christ, who have nourished you in Christ, who have stuck by you, undeserving as you are. You don't need to forget those people. And then I thought, well, we don't need to forget others who are patient with us as we grow in Christ. When you got saved, you hadn't arrived automatically. Somebody had to be patient with you. I tell people, I said, you come to my church, you'll see all kinds of people. I said, you'll see some that's been saved a little while, some been saved a long time. Some are growing, some are not. Some dress right, some don't. Some talk right, some don't. But you got to be patient with people. You got to love people. And I learned this a long time ago, Brother BJ, as a preacher, you can't push people, you got to lead people. And you ought to thank God for people that didn't push you, they led you. And they overlooked your shortcomings while you were growing. Amen? When babies are born, they don't know how to walk. You got to be patient with them. They don't even know how to eat. Somebody's got to feed them. Amen?
You got to be patient with them. And when a person's born again, you've got to be patient with people. And don't forget the people that were patient with you when others were judgmental. I've been church meetings. I've been all kinds of meetings. And preacher get up and say, "Ah, bless God. Man got long hair. He's a homo. Run him off." And I'm sitting there, I need a haircut. I didn't know you were supposed to get a haircut that quick. Bless God, if one wore a pair of short britches, just cast her off. I said, no, somebody got to teach her how to dress, you know. I tell you what, you get a set of drums in that church, you'll just close church down. Now, well, wait a minute. You're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Why don't you be patient with people and love people and nourish people, encourage people, and they'll grow. Our problem is we shoot our wounded instead of nursing them. As soon as a young Christian falls, you'll hear it rumble through a church. Not this one. If I ever hear it, I'll run you off. You'll hear it rumble through a church. And don't think I won't. I've done it before. You say, well, you're a dictator. No, I'm a shepherd. I'm watching out for the rest of the sheep. Listen, some new Christian will make a mistake and fall. You hear it.
I knew it. I knew she was going to do it. I could tell by the way she wore. Did you see that short dress she wore up there? I knew he was going to do that. He was still smoking Pall Malls, and everybody knew you're supposed to smoke Winston's.
Yeah. Shoot them while they're down. Amen. That's what the Bible says to do. We're to lift them. We'll thank God for people that lifted us when we failed. We'll thank God for that people encouraged us when we were immature and didn't know any better. Amen. And then look, you don't ever need to forget. You don't ever need to forget the present things you're going through right now are temporary. Don't forget that what you're going through right now is temporary. We go to the cemetery and we leave a loved one and we think, well, this is the end of the world. I'm going to feel like this the rest of my life. But you're not. It'll take time. It'll take grace. But you'll get over it. Some of y'all need to be saying amen. And you'll be able to look back on it and say it was hard, but God was with me. A lot of times you'll lose a job and you'll think, well, I'll never get another job. You need to remember, God got you a job before. He can get you another one. Amen. Listen, you don't need to forget that the present things you're going through are temporary. We've all had times of depression, heartache, heartbreak. We've all been disappointed. We've all, most of you aren't like me, but when something happens to me, I don't know why, I just get off in the woods somewhere. And I'll get wet and I'll cry and I say, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Isaac and Jacob? Where is the God of John the Baptist? God, where are you at? And I'll get off and I'll cry and I'll weep my way through it. But I know it's only temporary and the sun's coming up tomorrow and everything's going to be all right sooner or later. I just have to keep faith that God is going to let me come through this because He's brought me through other things just as bad or worse. It's not the end of the world. It's not even the end of your Christian life. It's just a little spot in your life. And then last but not least, Philippians 3:13. And we'll quit. Philippians 3:13. We got a little short business meeting. I'm trying to encourage you a little bit. Philippians 3:13. Lest thou forget. Forget not. Lest thou forget. Forget not. Lest thou forget. Don't forget God loves you. Don't forget the word of God's eternal. Don't forget those who've led you to Christ and helped you along. We're patient with you. Don't forget the present things are temporary. And then last, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, now listen, brethren, we hadn't got there yet. We have not arrived yet. We don't do that. We never say we've arrived. We're not in heaven yet. But this one thing we can do, we can forget the past. And we press on. Because there is a prize to come. And I tell people all the time, and nobody seems to listen, we are not in heaven. This is not heaven. And the world looks at America as heaven. This is not heaven. Hey, even though you've got nice things, you may have a little money, you still have heartaches. You still have disappointments. You still have hurt. You still have people that don't like you. Some might even hate you. You still will have sickness. You're going to eventually end up with death unless Jesus comes back. This is not heaven, but there's a heaven coming, bless God. My wife tells me all the time now. Now, a lot of things she says I'm a pessimist. I mean, she'll point at the dishwasher and she'll tell me what's wrong with it. I said, it's broke. Let's get another. She said, we can fix it. Everything she says we can fix. You know? And 3 days later, in water all over the floor, finally said, we better get another one. She says, I'm a pessimist. But then on the other hand, she'll say, I'm an optimist. She says, you don't see the bad in people. And I said, that's because everybody's got some bad in them. I do. Everybody does. And if you spend all day looking at the bad, you're not going to think about how good they're going to look in heaven. Instead of looking at everybody like they're going to go to hell, why don't you forget that and start looking at people that they're going to heaven? Because this is not heaven. But there's a heaven coming. There was 9 of us in my family. I was next to the baby. I'm the last one. My oldest sister, Nancy, was mentally retarded. She had a cleft palate. She didn't have a hair lip, but she had a cleft palate. She couldn't talk plain. Back then, they didn't send them to school. And she couldn't say R's or things like that. She called me Wani. And she had a hard life. She had a hard life. She died at 23 with heart failure. Then I had another sister, Betty. She was a couple years younger than Nancy. She had a cleft palate. She couldn't speak very well. And they didn't give them... They sent them to a special school to teach them how to take baths and brush their teeth and keep house. They didn't teach them how to read or write. And she couldn't speak very well. She'd say, I love you, Wani. I'm proud of you, Wani. Couldn't even read or write. And then my other sister, Judy, and she came here a few times and she would sing that song, I Won't Have to Worry Anymore. She couldn't read. Before she died, just a couple years before that, she'd learned how to read and write her own name. She could read a little bit of the Bible. After I got saved, I regretted how I treated them as a young child and a young man. I treated them real bad, made fun of them, everything else. But I can still hear them say in their language, I love you, Wani. Why have you, Wani? And you think about what a hard life. They were believers, and what a hard life they had, just living around people like me and other people. But then Judy would get up and she would sing that song, I Won't Have to Worry Anymore. She'd memorized it. And everybody would cry. And they'd say, look at poor old Judy. And then when they told her, they sent her to the nursing home to die, and they told her she was going to die, I went in there and she said, Wani, did they tell you? I said, what, Judy? She said, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus, Wani. Hey, they told me I'm going to die. I told them I wasn't going to die. I was going to go see Jesus. Amen. Wani, I'm going to see Jesus. And a couple of days later, she died. And she went to see Jesus. And Betty, she died and went to see Jesus. And Nancy died and went to see Jesus. And they don't have cleft palates anymore. And you want to know what's good about people like that? They had short memories. You could make fun of them. You'd break their heart. They'd cry. And a couple hours later, they'd be hugging your neck, telling you how much they loved you. We used to call people like that simple-minded. I think they were a lot less simple than we thought they were. And if we'd become more simple-minded, I think we'd be happier people. And simple-minded people forget quickly. But there's some things they'll never forget, and that's that God loved them. I think I'm going to go back to being simple-minded. Amen? That's some things you don't need to forget, and some you do. Now, we're going to give an invitation, then we'll have a short business meeting. But come on, brother, let's go ahead. Just listen. Maybe there's some things you need to forget about other people that's hurt you. Maybe somebody's really done you wrong. And I mean really physically, mentally, emotionally. You know you'd be a lot better off if you'd forget that. You know they don't even think about it. You're the one thinking about it. So that means they're still hurting you and they don't even know it. You need to forget that. You know those failures that you've had that other people bring up to you all the time? You need to forget those failures and get up and go on. Amen? But you never forget that God loves you. Amen?